Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministries Bible Study, and we are continuing with the basics of the kingdom. I'm feeling that the Lord has wants us to revisit that. And what we're going to do is, again, for those of you that are tuning in, we are going over scripture, and if you are listening by internet, you can call in. The host number is 347-237-4054, and you can call in, and if you have a comment or you'd like to add to the discussion, we definitely invite you to participate in that. Again, we are New Beginnings Ministries, and we are discussing the basics of the kingdom. And as we begin, the beginning of our scriptures that we're going to review would be start off with Genesis 1:1. And if you could, take a minute and go to Genesis 1:1.
We also need to say that if we're veering from what was scheduled to say, we were supposed to do blood of the covenant today. We want to make sure, that everyone knows that we're on a good topic and we begin with prayer.
And so everyone is open up to Genesis 1:1, and I'm sure that you're there now and would like to take an opportunity to pray before we dive into the scriptures. But Father, we come before you asking that you would just unveil the mysteries of your words. Father, we pray that you would just be with us at this time, Heavenly Father, that everyone that is participating, that's listening, that we cannot see, Heavenly Father, that everything that's done and everything that's said would be on one accord. Lord, we magnify your name. We just come just to understand what thus says the Lord. And we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for life and life more abundantly. And we also, more than anything, thank you for your word, Heavenly Father, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Thank you. We bless those, Heavenly Father, that are having any type of illness, or whatever they're going through. Father, we just ask to apply the blood to them, Heavenly Father. And we just thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen, amen. We are Genesis 1:1, and the scripture states, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I like that because, and it states that in the beginning, meaning that was before time, before we was even created, that God created the heaven and the earth, meaning that God owns everything. He owns the heavens and he is over the earth. So anything that we have belongs to God. Money, houses, cars, anything that we own belongs to God. So what a blessing. And I believe that that's what the scripture wants to outline, that sometimes we tend to have things or we gain things in our lifetime and we tend to take ownership or we don't want to share or divide with someone else. And if God is the beginning, in the beginning created all of this, if God is the owner of all of this, then when we share with one another, then there is a blessing to come. God honors that. God wants us to love one another. He wants us to help one another. And when we do that, then we are blessing someone else. And in return, God blesses us. The basics of kingdom is understanding who God is. He is the Alpha, he is the Omega. He's the beginning and he is the end. So when we honor God, then there are blessings that we receive. And it states in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen.
Amen.
If there are any comments, again, if you have anything that you would like to share, please call 347-237-4054, and your number would pop up, and we would just open up for you and allow you to participate verbally as opposed to, by internet. It has been a blessing. We have had over 200 people that have listened or if not have checked out our Bible study, and that has been a blessing. But we would truly, truly love to have more participants verbally. This is a discussion Bible study, and we're just basically discussing or feeding on the Word of God. And on feeding on the Word of God, we want you to sit at the table with us as we eat and feed of the Word of God together. So please do take the opportunity to call in. Again, 347-237-4054, New Beginnings Ministries Bible Study. The second scripture that we would like to look at is Genesis 1:26 through 28. And as we give the scriptures, we are going to also take a moment to give you an opportunity to locate that. Genesis 1:26 through 28. And the scripture says, "And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon this earth." 27 reads, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created, in the image of God, created in him, male and female, created he them." Verse 28 states, "And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And here it is. God is, he is letting us know through Scripture that he is the owner. He is the Alpha, he is Omega, and what he has done is he has given, in the beginning, given an opportunity to have power over the earth. And during that time, as we get into the scripture, it's when Adam and Eve had taken place. During that time, and they had power over the dominion. He said, and he created man in his own image. And I'm going to stop there, and I really don't want to talk too much, but again, this discussion, and discussion means that there are more than one person who's involved. Right now we have here Dr. Clay, and we have my brother, Brother Rice, and myself, and at any time, you may hear one of these voices that may share what's on their heart. And again, we're also looking for you to partake as well. 347-237-4054.
I want to go back. You know, I love reading the Living Bible and looking at different versions of the Bible when I read. Again, looking at Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28. So I'm going to read it to you from the Living Bible. Then God said, let us make a man, someone like ourselves, to be the master of all life upon the earth and in the sky and in the sea. And I want us to just look at that, that this was the first mention for us that are Christians to understand the Trinity, that the us that he's talking about, God said, let us make a man. He's talking about himself, God the Father, himself, God the Son, himself, God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So that is the Trinity, saying, let us make him like ourselves. That to be the master of all life upon the earth and in the skies and in the sea, to master it, be the master of it, to take dominion of the earth, which means to subdue it and to be the Lord who's giving us stewardship over the earth. When we're supposed to look at how we take care of things, when we think about the going green movement that we have now with conservation and water conservation and recycling and so forth, that's part of what the Lord called us to do.
Amen.
To be a good steward over what he has given us. We're supposed to take care of the air that we breathe. We're supposed to take care of the land that we live on and our environment. So that the environment and these things live is beyond us. God gave this to us, not just for, it wasn't just made for Adam, he gave it for all of humanity. And he gave it to us. But let's go to 27, it says, so God made man like his maker. Like God did God make man. Three times it's been said, man and maid did he make them. Man and maid or maiden, man or woman did he make them. And God blessed them and told them, multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, to go forth and to have children, to multiply yourself and to subdue the earth. Fill the earth with yourself and become a master of your environment. You're masters of the fish and the birds and all the animals.
Amen. I think also, you know, we said God created human beings in his own image, and the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them, and God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Take charge of the earth, take care of it, but also take care of each other. Everything that is upon the earth, and that includes us as brothers and sisters.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. There we go back into the relationship, like our conversation a couple weeks ago, about understanding the blood type of the relationship. The relationship is what the Lord wants from us, wants to have with us from the very beginning in Genesis, all the way to Revelation. The Lord is talking about having a relationship with intimate personal relationship with his creation.
Amen. Our next scripture for the basics of the kingdom is Genesis 2:16.
I can read that, Eddie. And the Lord God commanded the man. I'm sorry, the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will certainly die.
Mm-hmm.
That was two verses, right?
Yes. 26 through 28. And God said, commanded man, saying, every tree in the garden thou may freely eat. When I think about that, look at that. God has given us the power and the authority today. And all he's asking of us is to be obedient to the word of God. And when we're obedient to the word of God, then God blesses us. He gives us greater knowledge. And also, he's allowed us to be able to have a better relationship with him by being obedient. And as your child within your home, you're looking for your child to be obedient. And when your child is obedient to you, you tend to reward that child for the good things that that child does. We are children of God. We being the children of God. And God blesses us accordingly. And he's saying here, but the tree of knowledge, there's a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Thou shalt not eat of it. The day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. Now, that's not a physical death. That's a spiritual death. It's not a physical death. It's a spiritual death. So the further we move away from God, the less in tune we are to be able to hear his voice or understand what God is always speaking to us, but I just truly believe that the voice is not as audible, or we don't have the same closeness as we do when we're obedient to God. And here, he's stating that to Adam, that you can do anything that you want to do, but whatever you do, do not eat from a certain tree. There is good and there is evil. Do not eat from that tree.
Then also that since when the first sin that occurred, I'm never saying that the very first sin was disobedience.
Just before.
Yeah, because Eve and Adam had not eaten from the tree. But anyway, the disobedience that occurred. But anyway, if they had done exactly as God had instructed them, it would be, you know, a blessing as opposed to death, which is a separation from God. And that's that spiritual aspect.
Another thing I wanted to look at is that, consider this. Okay, so God made heaven and earth, God made the garden, God made the tree of life and the tree of knowledge. Okay? The Lord, what this verse is showing us is that God gives us choices as his children. And we have a choice to be obedient or not, to follow him or not, to do what's right or not. We have choices. We have to look at the things that are put before us and make choice. But that's how much he loves us. And his grace causes him to continuously receive us every time we ask for forgiveness, gives us and brings us in, not that we don't reap what we sow, but we have a loving and forgiving God, and he gives us so much grace and mercy. But what I want to say is that if it was something that was, you're seeing that it's choice here, because if he just simply did not want Adam to not touch it, don't, you know, this doesn't even have to be doesn't appear, he would have created it.
Absolutely, because he had choice.
He had a choice of anything that he could eat, but there was also the choice of being obedient to the Lord or not to be obedient to the Lord. Adam, when this was before Eve was created too, had no understanding of good or evil because there was nothing but good. Everything that he was around him was good. So what would evil be? Well, okay, you can't imagine evil. You have to experience that. You can't imagine what good is unless you experience good.
Mm-hmm.
You can't imagine, like, where it says she will surely die. But what is death? Nothing had died. There was no death. No death at this time. And some scientists say that this period was not like a day here, a day there, that it was a thousand years, and here was another 1,000 years. Some people say it was a couple hundred, but it wasn't a day that we know it as 24 hours, sun, down. So during this period, though, there was no death, and there was no evil. Adam had never, ever experienced that.
Amen.
So he knew that the Lord said this, but so he never really understood, could not have understood even choice, because choice is something that you make basically based on prior knowledge. So I know not to touch a hot stove, not just because my mother had taught me not to touch a hot stove, but because I had felt something hot before, or I either was disobedient and didn't touch the stove before, but I know what hot means now. So I know if somebody says, "Don't touch that, that's hot," my hands are up. I'm not going to touch it. So if you don't know, but if you have nothing to compare it to, if you have no prior knowledge, it's difficult to understand what someone is putting before you. So it's maturity and life and age and experience that teaches us these things. So when the Lord in this paragraph, in this verse is telling us is that man had choice even from the beginning.
Amen.
Had choice even from the beginning, and he didn't have to do that. He's a loving God, a loving Father. A loving Father gives a child room to make mistakes. A loving Father gives a child opportunities to explore. A loving, just like our loving Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
He does, because he could have been, he just don't do it. He never created it. He didn't have a choice. You know? So the choice is, he wants him to choose to do what he said, choose to commune with him, love him, to choose in an agreeable relationship with him, to have that type of relationship where they were just so free, and to be so honest and authentic with one.
When I look at Scripture, and I kind of try to bring it to the everyday life as to where we are supposed to be. When you talk about choices, God gives us choices today. He gives us choices. You know, either we're for Him or we're against Him. He gives us choices to be obedient or to be disobedient. He gives us all of these choices. And when I look at this, Scripture, it talks about what God will do when we choose Him, how much He will bless us. I truly believe that we work and try to obtain so much in our lives that all we have to do is basically surrender. We move forward by faith, but all we have to do is surrender our lives to God by being obedient, you know, to the Word of God, and all these things will come to us. They will happen. You know, but we choose. We make bad choices in our lives. And those bad choices, I truly believe, they just kind of diminish our rewards.
I think also, you know, tag along with that, you know, I think our, you know, we spread the gospel, and I'm moving into a different arena. in that we have to, as we saw a sin occur, or the relationship that God had with us, even though ultimately Adam and Eve did eat from the tree of knowledge, we have to be careful that we not be judgeful of people. God forgave us. Anyway, in our moving in the community and having a relationship with God, we also want to have a relationship, spiritual relationship, as an example, with people around us. Sometimes we can be overly judgmental. Judge, do not judge, you know. But anyway, by judging, you actually turn people away from God. You profess you're Christian, but anyway, you're actually judging a person, you know. I was having a conversation yesterday that, kind of turned into a Bible study. I think God really meant for us, the guy I was talking to, for us to have this conversation, you know. I actually invited him to the Bible study today, but he declined because I don't do well in groups, and I would have a hard time, you know. But we got into the discussion, you know, that, what God's will is, you know, it's just an open invitation. You can come anytime you want. Just one time, to see what we like. But we were talking about judging people and avoiding that, you know. Sometimes we feel our way is the best way. And in reality, God's way is the best way, His will. So we must be careful about how we carry ourselves.
Amen. Again, you know, if we have any callers, 347-237-4054. Join in on the discussion. And we'd like to hear from you. Sounds like we have someone on hold now.
Our listeners is on hold. Do you have anything to add? Hello? I see we still have a caller. We probably have nothing to add. Let's move on, though.
Okay. Our next scripture is Genesis 1:31. And again, we're going to give you a few minutes to locate Genesis 1:31. Give a few more minutes to locate it.
Genesis 1:31, God saw that all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, and the sixth day.
Amen. Amen. Any comments?
I think it shows that God was pleased with his accomplishment, and the most high of power, God, he was pleased. I think that says a lot.
Amen.
And also noted this was the sixth day. Yeah. Seventh day, of course, we know he rested.
Yeah. That's basically the same way, you know, same thing that, I kind of see it, you know, God, you know, looked at it and said, it's very good, you know, so that just shows that God looked at it and it was good as a superlative God, someone that can look over something and all he saw was good. All he saw was good. He said that was, it is very good. And that's all he saw was good. And when I look at this scripture, that's basically what comes out to me, that stands out to me. All he saw was just good. And imagine with us, all he sees is the good.
Mm-hmm. Also, him being an example, some of us will actually wake up and see a bunch of negativity. Mm-hmm. That's all we see, no matter how much good is around us. That's all we're going to focus on. I think this is an example of where we need to focus our energy on the positive, see the beautiful aspects of life.
Mm-hmm.
And not, you know, look under the rug, look under the bed, look in the closet, and look for darkness and things to be upset about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Keep our mind focused only on the good. As a man thinketh, so is he. Yeah. So anytime, it doesn't make a difference whatever the situation may be. If we have a positive attitude and we only see good, then I truly believe that good's going to come out of it. That we can, as you said, we can train ourselves to begin to start to think negatively. And then that's where our mind begins to start to think negative as opposed to positive.
I've heard of people who say, you know, I'm just so sick, I just feel like I'm going to die. And they're so negative, you know, that reality, they act, you know, it becomes reality. Then there's others who are just so sick. And maybe have cancer, but anyway, they say, you know, I'm going to live. I appreciate God. You know, I appreciate this day. It's a beautiful day. I appreciate, you know, what God has done for me. And they're not dwelling on the fact that I don't feel well.
Amen.
I'm dwelling on the fact that I'm going to feel better.
Amen.
God is with me.
Amen. And we're here to tell you, listeners, that, you know, God is a good God. And he wants us to only see the best. Only see the best, no matter whatever situation that you may be going through. No matter whatever financial situation that you may be having, only see the best. And God will increase that. I truly believe that. God will increase that. So we're here to tell you that whatever state of mind that you're in, that if there is a state of mind that you're thinking that's negative, a state of mind that may be taking you away from the good things or the beauty of things, we're here to tell you that change that mindset. Change that way of thinking and begin to start to think good things. And more good things will come to you.
The good things will multiply.
Amen. Amen.
As opposed to the negative, unpleasant things multiplying.
Amen.
God is good.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our next scripture is Genesis 3:16-24. Once I want to add for any callers, if you want to participate in the discussion, 347-237-4054. And we'll be happy to open up discussion with you as well. Genesis 3:16-24.
Then God said to the woman, you shall bear children in intense pain and suffering. Yet, even so, you shall welcome your husband's affection, and he shall be your master. And to Adam, God said, because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit, when I told you not to, I have placed a curse upon the soil. All your life you will struggle to extract the living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, and you shall eat its grasses. All your life you will sweat to master it until your dying day. Then you will return to the ground from which you came, for you were made from the ground, and to the ground you will return. The man named his wife Eve, meaning the life-giving one, for he said, she shall become the mother of all mankind. And the Lord God clothed Adam and his wife with garments made from skins of animals. Then the Lord said, now that the man has become as we are, knowing good from bad, what if he eats the fruit of the tree of life and lives forever? So the Lord God banished him forever from the garden of food and sent him out to farm the ground from which he had been taken. Thus, God expelled him and placed him mighty angel at the east of the Garden of Eden, with a flaming sword to guard the entrance to the Tree of Life.
Hmm. It also shows that there are consequences. And God forgave him, because, but anyway, there were still consequences. It didn't mean he didn't love them, but there were consequences for their actions. When we raise our children, we have to hold them accountable. And when we walk through life, we have to also hold ourselves accountable. You know, to understand Scripture and then hold ourselves accountable to that little Scripture.
Amen.
Well, another thing we learn from the Scripture is that not only do we have disobedience pressed here, but we have the confusion and shame. They were embarrassed because they were naked. We have lying. They lied and said that they didn't know, lied about why they were hiding. Even hiding, that's not of God either, that things should be out in the open and honest. So hiding and lying and shifting the blame, not being irresponsible, all of those things are introduced here. And see where the punishment and order of the guilt was given when the Lord took the verse 14 and 15, when the Lord, I'm going to go back up to 14. So this is what the Lord said to the serpent. Serpent tricked me. That's what Eve is saying. So the Lord God said to the serpent, this is your punishment. You are singled out from among all the domestic and wild animals of the whole earth to be cursed. You shall grovel in the dust as long as you live, crawling along on your belly. From now on, you and the woman will be enemies, as will your offspring and hers. You will strike his heel, but he will crush your hand. So there we have the ongoing battle of the snakes with Eve, but also the fact that they crawl now. There's been some, one of the classifiers, they showed scientific evidence that some snakes did have the ability to, I won't say walk, they had appendages like small legs at one time, and they no longer have it. Then to the woman, God said, you shall bear children and entertain the stuff that even so you shall welcome your husband's affection, and he shall be your master. And that's something that women that we see in the earth, of course, the pain of childbearing with this certainly intense, but then a woman not being able to turn away from her husband, but also that the husband shall be your master. And that's where we have the issue of rebellion and division and example, the beginning of that, because Adam and Eve were operating as one. As one together, they separated, he denied her, she convinced him into something and he just went along with it. Then he denied that he did it, but he was being held responsible for it. The Lord holds the husband responsible for the entire household. So if things go wrong, it's his, the Lord just sort of goes to man.
Mm-hmm.
That's also the place where we see it so much today, and which the enemy uses, is that the enemy will tell the woman that he's not your master, that you can dominate him, that you don't need a man, that you can dominate him. You have a lot of men that have been oppressed by women, been raised by what we in society they call strong women, but are really operating in witchcraft. I know that's what I have to say about these things, but operating in witchcraft, because it is witchcraft, it's against God, by not raising boys and putting them in a place of, and teaching them to be men and having men in their father's lives. And so it's the responsibility of the mother and the father to make sure that the household is in order. And if the household is in the order of the kingdom, in kingdom order, then your children will be raised, and then it will be duplicated generation after generation. Mm-hmm. And the next one, the next punishment of guilt, was what Adam was to Adam. Well, that was because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit. When I told you not to, I placed a curse upon the soil. All your life you will struggle to extract a living. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, and you shall eat its grass. All your life you will sweat the masters until your dying day. And here we are, just in our 2,000 years since Christ, we're still doing the same thing. Still the same thing. I'm trying to understand. We get some things mastered and then we grow in other ways. We understand about agriculture and growth patterns, about rotating crops and things like that. But yet still we have scientists coming up with these synthetic additives that we add to our vegetables and things that we do with pesticides, which is ruining the crops, ruining our food. And then we're feeding that to our children. So it's like a vicious cycle that we're just not getting. We're just not getting. And there's still people who are hungry in this earth. We see it and hear about it every day, that struggle just to bring something from the earth, who are living in difficult spaces. I want to say, too, in verse 20, you notice that before she was called, he called her woman, this woman, after the woman, and he was, and Adam was man. I had notes in another, and I don't know what I did, what the notes were, but it made me smile because it reminded me of my daughter's day in, I think it was Hebrew, man is ish, and woman, no, man is ish, the woman is isha. And so he will call her, he will ish, he will call her isha. And so after she had children, though, because she had children, and his the way he looked at her was different, because he was real suspect of her doing it. And because she didn't trust him anymore, and they had the division in their relationship, she wasn't just Isha anymore, meaning woman that's like me, woman who's another part of woman who completes me. She wasn't just Isha anymore. He said, "I changed her name to Eve, which means mother of mankind," and that's what she became. And that shows another division in the relationship, and what we see in male-female relationships, where women and men are always trying to get one another to understand one another, to get to a point where they understand each other and they support each other and have loving relationships. So we continue in that struggle too, 2,000 years later.
Let me add on to this, because you must tag a lot. Man is to be master over his wife, but also the Bible says that a man is to love his wife as he loves himself.
But we're talking about in Genesis.
Okay.
Okay, you're talking about in Corinthians, and that's true. And a man is supposed to love his wife as himself.
That's relationship, though.
But this, you think this was the curse for what they did.
Yeah.
This was the curse. So this is what the curse was, and the curse brings anytime there's any change, there's action and then there's the reaction. The reaction of the curse brings pains of childbearing and of Adam having to work hard like that is a demonstration for change. That's the reaction. That's the evidence of from that curse. That was one of the. And I hate to say fruit, because even the fruit is fruit bearing something positive, but what is a result of the curse that the relationship changed. So men and women, husbands and wives, have struggled for generation upon generation upon generation to get back to what that type of relationship. And actually, mankind in every aspect of life has wanted to get back to the Garden of. That's where we belong. that's what we should long for. I remember in some of my Bible studies with them, and we always talk about, okay, what's the first thing you're going to say after you see Jesus when you get to heaven? And most people, most women, in my experience, in my circle, say they want to see Eve. So they got a few words for her. The other thing I want to say, and I'm going to be quiet and I'm going to move on, is that this is where we see evidence of the blood. You know, we talked about the blood of the covenant and the shedding of blood, but we see it here also. Some people say that the first blood that flowed was when Adam put Adam to sleep and took the rib from his side to create Eve, because she was from. But also when the Lord clothed Adam and his wife with garments made from skins of animals, so that was the sacrifice for the death blood.
Any more comments? Any comments from our listeners? 347-27.
Hello.
Caller.
Yeah. One thing that I took out of it is that even though that the sin, the initial sin, was disobedience or whatever, and God, you know, punished him or whatever, it turns around in verse 21, and, you know, he clothed them. So the disobedience showed them that they were naked, but God in his mercy and his love for them still, you know, made them clothes, made them something to cover themselves. So it's like, you know, even though, you know, they disobeyed God and that's the only reason that they knew that they were naked and that's why they were ashamed and all of that and they were hiding, after God, you know, calls them and punishes them, he also consoles them. So since it's like, since you did this or whatever, this is your punishment, but I'm not just going to leave you out here naked. I'm going to still provide for you. I can't do what I want to do for you, but, you know, here's what I can do.
Amen. I think also another way of looking at it too, you know, God recognized that he was going to have to consequence them for their behavior, their act of disobedience. Part of that is in Garden of Eden, they had everything they needed. They didn't need clothes. And, you know, maybe it was the ideal temperature year-round. They didn't eat clothes, but anyway, they had to leave that. They had to leave the Garden of Eden. And so anyway, clothing is now a necessity for their survival. And otherwise, they'd be cold. So anyway, you won't have to leave this environment here. But anyway, that is your punishment. But anyway, here's clothing for you because you're going to need it. But that still shows the sign that shows, you know, love, you know, because you could say, well, you know, go out there. You may need these things. You may need these certain things. But they're not going to provide it, you know. But those things were provided before they were forced to leave Eden.
You never stop loving.
Right.
You know what, another thing I skipped over, and this is most important for us, is that we need to see, too, within the scriptures that we just read. But this is, here we see the first prophecy of the coming of Christ. When the Lord says to the serpent that from now on you and the woman will be enemies, as will your offspring and hers. You will, so a woman, and we think about how women pray and women travail in prayer. The enemy is our enemy, Satan. And so, and his offspring, his minions, and his and demons, principalities, and powers, are the true enemies of women. And women will always be able to be, are sensitive to those things, and to be able to pray, and to battle, to go into spiritual warfare on behalf of her offspring. Okay, and her offspring, so she's protecting her offspring, her children, from the things of the enemy. Now, the other piece is it says that you will strike his heel. Think about when Christ was hung on the cross, that his feet were put together, and that where he was nailed to the cross at his a- ankle, that it will bruise his heel. That his heel was bruised when he was nailed to the cross.
And some good stuff. Definitely good stuff. You know, thank God for this.
And then, I got to say this. And then remember when Jesus wrestled before Calvary and he was tempted by the enemy. It says that you will strike his heel, but he will crush your head. The enemy thought he had won when Christ was crucified,
mm-hmm.
when the blood flowed, when his side was pierced. When he lowered his head and said, you know, that this was it, that he was giving up. He thought it was it. But the Lord says no, because he will crush your head. Okay?
Amen.
Amen.
We're going to move on to the next scripture. Praise the Lord. Genesis, we are at Genesis 3, 16 through 24.
Just read.
Can we just, I'm sorry, check that off. Genesis 8:20. Of course, we can hear all these Bibles. Definitely know we have Bibles here. Praise the Lord. Anyone like to?
8:20. I'll read. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. And taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. Read 21 as well. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of human beings, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood, and never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease."
Amen.
Well, here again, we're looking at sacrifices that was offered unto God. And even Adam and Cain, you know, they also were sacrifices as well offered unto God. Noah built the ark during that time. The Lord smelled, says 8:21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savior of the Lord and said in his heart, "I will not again curse the ground." Smelled a sweet Savior.
With Noah, that's another one of the promises. Remember, we were talking about the covenant promises that the Lord has made with us? And the other promise here, which you hear people say all the time, and here's another promise that Brother Norman had read, "As long as the earth remains, there will be springtime and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and is in the word is from."
Amen.
Even when you think of the earth being flooded, it's flooded with water, and with that, you think you have water as that cleansing. And something is dirty, you clean it, you know. But anyway, there were, you know, survivors, and God said, "I will never, you know, do this again."
And I remember when we talked about covenant. You have what was the covenant that he would never flood the earth again? "But I will never again curse the earth, destroying all things, be the self, man's bent." Man is always, is more likely to be evil, even from his earliest youth. And even though he does does such wicked things, the Lord says, I will not destroy all living things. He will not do that. So that was his promise. That was the covenant that he had with Noah's family. He talked about the sacrifices and the sacrifice of the animals that went forward. But the token, the evidence of it, and the reminder of it, the symbol of it, that the Lord shows us and to remind us every time it rains, he puts the rainbow in the sky to remind us, okay, I'm keeping my promise.
Amen.
I'm keeping my promise, and you're keeping yours. And that was Noah. Thousands and thousands of years ago.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Any comments, callers? Again, 347-237-4057. If you would like to call in on the discussion and be a part of the discussion, we'd love to hear from you. We're moving on to Genesis 9:17. And again, we give you an opportunity to locate the scripture. And God said unto Noah, this the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Any comments? And here we are again with a covenant that God had made with Noah. And again, you know, that was the rainbow showing that that was a promise to Noah at that time that he would not flood the earth. And that was between all flesh. So when we see the rainbow, that is a representation of God showing his promise. To Noah as well as to us. Genesis 12:1-3.
God had told Abram, leave your own country behind you and your own people. You go to the land I will give you. And if you do, I will cause you to become the father of a great nation. I will bless you and make your name famous, and you will be a blessing to many others. Mm. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you, and the entire world will be blessed because of you.
Amen. Amen. When I look at this scripture, I see obedience again. You know, just looking at Abram, you know, and that was still Abram. I am not the father of nations. That transition has been made, but I see obedience. You know, I see growth. Where God is giving him a commandment, and Abram is choosing to follow that. And he, believing who God is, chooses to do as such, and also believing that what God said he's going to do, he will do. And I'm sure that at that time there must have been some dismal or, you know, some things that occurred that appeared that it was not going to happen. But it did happen. And Noah believed that.
Then you also have to think, too, Abram was in his comfort zone. His family was there with him, a way of life that he was accustomed to. And God tells him to simply pack up, leave, move away from this environment, and you'll be blessed. And
for him to quickly act upon God's instructions without question.
Now, first he did, though. So we have to remember, too, that just from the beginning of Genesis to now, we're talking about hundreds of years. But remember, Abraham's father was an idol worshiper. And actually, Abram came from idol worshippers, from a family of idol worshippers. And his father, Terah, would sell idols. So that's how he made money. That's how Abram was raised. That was their livelihood. So he raised, so he would sell little idols for people to buy. God, he made a God of all sorts, idol of such and such, people would come to him and buy what they needed. So when Abram first talked about moving, and stop me if I'm wrong, the first city that he talked about going to, Terah, his father, was okay with it because it was a good business opportunity. Because he wanted to take, Abram wanted to take his family with him. When we get over here, we're talking about where Abram is getting a better understanding that he's supposed to leave what he was used to, like from his dad, and go out on his own and get to know the Lord God. Abram, but he was still somewhat disobedient because he was a member of his nephew Lot. And what was Lot?
Yeah, and that's what I would. That's another thing that I think about in the scriptures, and as it goes even further, is when God asked him to leave. One of the commandments, or one of the things he mentioned, was do not take any idols with you. Leave everything behind, and that did not happen. And that did not happen. And there was consequence behind that.
And the idol that he took with him was his nephew?
Any type of idols. You know, idols, there were idol worshippers.
Okay, so his nephew would have been raised as an idol worshipper, and he should have been left.
Or any idols. He was not supposed to go, only his family. But the idols, you know, that includes his family as well. They were not supposed to take any idols with them. They were supposed to leave everything behind. Everything behind.
And remember, Sarah didn't have any children either. And then we want to talk about the places they live. Like, they lived in Ur, and Ur means deficient faith. The name of the city described exactly what it was. Ur.
Deficient faith.
And then they went to Haran. And Haran means dormant faith.
That's something else. So there's a road they were traveling. Mm-hmm. To get to where God wanted them to go.
Yeah.
Reach your destination.
But isn't it, I thought it was so interesting that the name of the town street that they were going to really do. Also, meant exactly what they were
going to do.
Right, what they were going through physically, they were going through spiritually and however else you
like. I think we also do the same thing in our own lives.
Absolutely.
And we have to recognize that and be prepared, you know, as Abram, to continue to move on. Don't stay stagnant. Don't be sorrowful look down, but, you know, move forward. Look up.
Amen. That's why I kind of like the title, the basics of the kingdom. We stick with the basics. Stick with the foundation, the principles that God had originally given us. Even today, that we would be blessed.
I think the story is just so good. Especially Genesis. But listen to this. For Shechem, they went to Shechem. They went through Canaan to Shechem. Shechem means shoulder. And it's the land of great grace. And then from there, they went to Bethel. And Bethel is the house of God. But it says that, but he also pitched the tent near Ai, the garbage pit. That means the garbage pit. Ai. A-I. Well, Ai, which means the garbage pit. But there was a tent.
And when he did that, he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So anyway, he's still, you know, God is very much with him. And even at that location, he's still calling God, which shows his faith.
Great man of faith. Amen. We're moving on to Genesis 26, 1 through 5. And again, any listeners out there, call 347-237-4057 and be a part of this discussion, New Beginnings Ministries, held every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8:30 p.m. Again, the number is 347-237-4054. We'd love to hear from you. Genesis 26, 1 through 5. Giving you a few minutes to locate it. Amen.
Now a severe famine overshadowed the land, as it happened before in Abraham's time. And so Isaac moved to the city of Gerar, where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived. Jehovah appeared to him there and told him, "Don't go to Egypt. Do as I say, stay here in this land. If you do, I will be with you and bless you, and I will give all this land to you and to your descendants, just as I promised Abraham your father. And I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars. And I will give them all of these lands, and they shall be a blessing to all the nations of the earth."
Amen.
"I will do this because Abraham obeyed my commandment and law." Stopping there?
That's
fine.
Yes.
Okay.
Here we go again with God giving a commandment and obedience is required. But isn't it, you know, also I see where God is saying, don't do something. So if God, in the beginning, was the creator of all things, and he knew what Abraham was thinking, or what Abraham was going to do. So before he did that, he kind of spoke to him and said, don't go there. Don't do this. The same as he speaks to us. When we do something that we're not supposed to do, there's the spirit that's within us. Speaks to us not to do it. And we're right back to choices again. We can choose to follow the spirit, or we can choose to follow the flesh.
I think what the Lord wants us to see here is, because of Abraham's obedience, there is peace that is blessed. So Isaac was being blessed as if that his family continued to have a relationship with the Lord, continued to worship and speak the Lord's faith. But there was, because of Abraham's obedience and following the Lord, that his immediate family and the families beyond that, of children and children's children, and the children's children, children and children's children, 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 you know, the nations will be blessed because of this person doing what they were told, you know, being obedient, being a loving man. And it speaks to us as parents, as our parents, as foster parents, spiritual parent, what you do when you in raising children and blessing them by your obedience to raise them in the Lord. And teaching the children about obedience worship. How important because it's bless your family.
I think about the faith of Abraham. Here's the name has changed now. You know, father of many nations, that has changed. From Abram to Abraham, now he's the father of many nations. There's that transition, you know, where God has given him a new name. You know, praise the Lord. I just see, you know, he was a man of great faith. Take his son and put him on the altar. And believing that God was going to send burnt offering for him in exchange. That's great faith. That's great faith, and that's what we're trying to. That's what we're trying to obtain.
We're in great obedience.
Amen.
He was willing to do what God asked, even though you know that it was not His will; it was God's will.
Amen.
But He was willing to fulfill God's wish or will as He thought.
Amen. We're going to move on to 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 16. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 16. I'm going to take a little twist here and get away from Genesis. And calls, we give you an opportunity to get the scriptures as well, so we can all be on the same page and on one accord. Amen. Would you like to read?
Sure. I will give you your servant, those who will cut the timber, 20,000 cores of ground wheat, 20,000 cores of barley.
What are you reading?
Oh, you know, I'm sorry. I'm moving to the second Chronicles. I'm a little too far.
First Chronicles 29, that's the last.
Right. As for the event of the king David's reign, from beginning to end, they are written in the records of Samuel, the seer.
I'm still on where you are.
For your First Chronicles 29:10.
Chapter 29. Verse 10.
David's prayer. David prays the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Your Lord is greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty.
Hallelujah.
And the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Your land is the kingdom. You are exalted as head of over all.
Amen.
Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In the hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all.
Hallelujah.
Now our God will give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who I am, and who are my people, that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hands. for your foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord, our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you.
Here it is, David is giving honor to God as acknowledging him as being the creator. The creator. We started off in the beginning. God created heaven and earth, and David is basically saying the same thing, that God owns it all. We don't own anything. Not even ourselves. Not even ourselves. We were purchased. We was purchased. We don't even belong to us. Any comments? Matthew 3:1. We're looking at about 10 more minutes before closing. Again,
Matthew 3:1.
Yes, Matthew 3:1.
I'll read. In those days, John the Baptist came, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near."
And just a note on that, it says, in those days, I see that when it speaks of in those days, that was the time that the Messiah had not come. The Messiah had not began to start to his preaching or his evangelism during that time. In those days, John the Baptist was preaching to the wilderness. And when it starts talking about in terms of, where I see it starts talking about in terms of repent, you know, that is the calling of every minister, every preacher who was called by God to go into a world of darkness and letting them know to repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Any comments? Any more callers again? Anyone listening? 347-237-4054. We'd love to hear from you. As we come to a close, we are in Matthew 19:23. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Matthew 19:23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." That sounds like a struggle there. Sounds like a lot of effort into for someone to reach heaven.
I think that they're thinking of, and we in our society think of richness be having wealth that is only monetary, but wealth goes far beyond monetary gain, and that's what they were thinking, the people of this time, the Pharisees and Sadducees, with this, and the tax collection, and you know, having using the temple for selling idols and pigeons, they were to sacrifice and make money at that point. So they looked at those people as being rich. But in reality, those people who had family, people who had relationships, people who, I mean, richness goes far beyond. So if you think you're going to go to heaven, you bought your pigeons and you have so much money in the bank and you pay this to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, this is your how it was taken. It's best possible. That's not after how we get to heaven. It's not about what we have. It's about what we get. Not about what you get, what you've gathered, what you've hoarded. It's about what you get. It's about being in a relationship. How have you taken care of other people? What have you given to the kingdom for the poor? What have you given to the kingdom to build a better kingdom? What have you given of yourself? What kind of sacrifice? If it's something that's easy to give, then it's not really a sacrifice. Sacrifice, those things are difficult to give. But you have a second thought, the one that goes out of your head, you think you have a stick feeling in yourself. That's a sacrifice.
That's exactly right, and that's what I was referring to in terms of a struggle. When I say a struggle, I'm looking at the temptations and the idols, that the things that we idolize. It's difficult to break away from that to obtain salvation. It's difficult to break away from that. We want to hold on to it. We do not want to give it away. We are at John 18:36, which is going to be our last scripture. John 18:36. That is going to be our last scripture for this evening. And for all the callers, we do thank you for participating with us. Again, we are here every Wednesday from 7 o'clock to 8:30 p.m. We are New Beginnings Ministries. And we thank you for tuning in to Blog Talk Radio.
Can I just say something before we start reading, John?
Sure, please.
I was just thinking about it. One of the main things that stuck out to me, especially with some of the verses that we read tonight, was obedience. And the Bible says that, you know, obedience is even better than sacrifice. So I know that obedience, you know, that's one thing that I feel like God is speaking personally to me. And I don't know if, you know, he's saying it to anybody else, but obedience is a big thing.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And that is so true. That is so true. Obedience, you know. And again, you know, when we look at obedience, it's the same thing with our kids. You know, having them to be obedient to us, as far as, and also to the Word of God. We're looking at about 30 seconds before we're going to be closing. So we're not even going to look at that scripture. We also like to say that we love you, and we'd like to also let you know that God loves you most. Again, we thank you for tuning in. Next Wednesday, we will be back on Blog Talk Radio from 7 o'clock to 8:30 p.m., where we have a discussion. Please call in 347-237-4054 and be a part of the discussion. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be able to share the scripture. Again, thank you, and God bless you. Sister Alicia tuned in. That was a blessing.
On a magnet that says, keep it simple. I think William S. Lloyd Webber was probably the fruit of that phrase, keep it simple. Why write 6 pages and 6 bars? Ooh. That's the question he asked. Thank you.
Thank you. I was saying the other girl gave me an article she was supposed to be reading, and let folks know that they get credit for everything that they turn in. But I don't even think it was on that DVD. But I can, you know, I think kind of hoping to check stuff off my DVD. So I sent her a detail half. This thing would have to sign this book, correct? So it's on my phone, so I sent her an email saying I didn't see her tomorrow. Sent her an article. I appreciate the ball more than the article. All of them.
Neighborhood.
their neighborhood.
If you were going to do that, you could have taken my little piece of chips for it, bro. Yeah, just put it in.
Thank you. You have a minute. She says it depends on what you want to talk about.
It's like, well, then I better get the hard stuff out first.
That's how we start.
Just like his life. And he was called Warren, Warner.
Walmart.
My God. We had a minimum of 2 children. Minimum.
Well, this great-grandfather's great-great-grandfather's brother with his 17 kids is 2 or 3 fine. Isn't that terrible?
Must be an happy man.
Did you say he actually got married to this when his parents were now divorced her? Yes. Yes.
Oh.
Not married, huh? You stand.
Oh,
he did. Yeah. You know you can't do that now. Yeah. With computer stuff.
Oh, this whole
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.